Senate will come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Thursday, February 27th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Excuse.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Excuse.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Excuse.
Driscoll.
Here.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel. Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Excuse.
Meyer.
Excuse.
Nicholas.
Excuse.
Nutting.
Here.
Perkins.
Excuse.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Ross.
Here.
23 present, 7 excused.
It's got some coming. Go ahead.
I already closed it.
Go ahead and...
I closed it.
Huh?
I closed it.
All right. You're already excused. Excused. Okay, now we got a lot of excuses. Prayer by Pastor Whitmore.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you first for a gorgeous day here in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And thank you for the military that is here and who they represent. We thank you for their service and sacrifice. God, you tell us that a gentle word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And God, you also say that a soothing word is a tree of life. I pray today for the proceedings on the Senate floor, that soothing tongues would prevail, and that what you want to be accomplished would be accomplished, and that all these senators would know, God, that you are directing their steps. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 26th, 2014, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the report. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. The doctor for the day is Christina Beringer from Cheyenne. There is no nurse of the day. Today in Wyoming history, 1888, Joseph Carey introduced a bill in the United States House admitting Wyoming as a state. Quote for the day, "For success, attitude is equally as important as ability. Members of the Senate, or Senator Burns?
Mr. President, I'm here to the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, up in the West Balcony, I am privileged to introduce some of the members of Leadership Sheridan. And if they would stand up, and if the Senate would please make them welcome, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate. Members of the Senate, today we welcome our Wyoming military, veterans, and their families. Please help me in welcoming these folks, members of the Wyoming Army and Air National Guard, personnel from F.E. Warren Air Force Base, personnel from U.S. Navy Operational Support Center, and members of the Wyoming Veterans Commission, Veterans Service Organization, and Wyoming Veterans. Thank you for your service and sacrifice on behalf of us. Scott.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce the senator, a special friend of mine, Mr. Ron Aiken. He's down here as part of the Veterans Commission and a veteran himself. But he's a special friend of mine. He ran against me in 2004 as a Democrat, and that was the start, truly, of a special friendship. And I'd like to ask the Senate to help me make him welcome.
Welcome to the Senate. Members of the Senate, we will also be having, and we'll break at the appropriate time for some distinguished guests from Taiwan who will be with us. They're starting in the House and then they'll be down here. Okay, messages from the House.
February the 26th, 2014, from the House of Representatives. Message number 185, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 81, Employer Access to Social Media Accounts. Ayes 16, noes 36, excused 8. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Is that it? We have some concurrence requests. Senator Schiffer, are you ready for message number 183, concurrence request, in relation to Senate File 70? The reading clerk will read the message.
February the 26th, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message number 183, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 70, State Appropriations Lapsing of Funds. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move the Senate to concur on the concurrence request for Senate File 70, State Appropriations, Lapsing of Funds, and I ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, what the House did, and I appreciate their efforts, they went in and added on page 7 after line 5, subparagraph F. What this goes to is when the state auditor starts looking at these funds, much of the funding in YDOT is done on the federal calendar, which is October to October. And so what this instructs them to do is to plan accordingly when they go in and look at those funds to kind of synchronize with that federal fund calendar in addition to our state calendar, which runs June 30th to July 1st, or July 1st to June 30th. So that's just giving them the authority to make sure that they look at those federal funds right along with all the rest of the funds, but synchronize it with the federal calendar. I think it's a good amendment. I ask you to vote aye.
Any discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 70. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote close. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 70, State Appropriation Lapsing of Funds. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, are you ready on message number 184, concurrence request in relationship to Senate File 103?
I am.
The reading clerk will read the message.
February the 26th, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message number 184, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 103, State Buildings Construction. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President.
House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments.
Okay.
Now, all right. Mr. President, I move message number 184 to Senate File 103 on the currents and ask you to vote no. Not only no, but heck no. Folks, you have to imagine my distress when I'm sitting in the lunchroom. Have a joyous day, and the president, who carries really, really one significant bill, comes over and is mortified, angered. Can't imagine what they've done to his bill. He was angry. He was really angry. And it was righteous anger. It wasn't just the regular anger. It was the righteous anger. Oh, that's right. This bill, these people were messing with our bill. It's not just the president's bill, it's our bill. We sent him a good bill, a great bill. And they messed with it. And you know what's even worse? You look at those amendments, and I'm telling you, those amendments, you can't, it's like two people in two different planets made inconsistent amendments. That house needs to be corrected. These amendments can't stand. We cannot allow these stints. And we have to return our presidents to a bright moment today, and seriously, the House did a couple amendments that are absolutely inconsistent. If you can figure out what they are, come tell me. I can read the English language, not saying I'm a master at it, but I've been speaking English for a long time, and I've read these amendments, and I can't really figure out what they do say, and they're certainly inconsistent with what they read. Now, I could go over to the House and find out their interpretation of the English language, but we should actually not do that. We should require them to strip off a couple of these amendments. The issue becomes with respect to how are we going to talk about the space, who are the occupants of this building. One of the overriding themes that we as leadership and I think your president has been pursuing is that when we're done with this reorganization, our elected offices and their officials should have efficient offices. The governor should have his staff with him. The Secretary of State should have his staff with him. The auditor, her staff with her. Folks, I mean, if you, certainly all of you know time management. Every time you pick up a phone, you lose a half an hour between the time that you get off your project, get back to your project. Right now, the governor's got policy people in one building, and if you've gone down to the governor's office, you've seen what I've seen. There'll be three or four of his policy people sitting there because they've come from another building. They have to hit a channel. Those people should be officed with the governor. They should be working. They should be called up when they want to do the transaction. This idea that we're going to break up offices so that people could have just so they could have an office in the building is not efficiency. It's not what drives good government. Good government is we make these offices more efficient. We give them the tools to do a good job. And as we're moving through the bill and this remodel process, we should keep that in mind. I don't think the folks in the state of Wyoming want to have ceremonial offices so people can have two offices and can't be found and their staff are relocated. They want good, strong, efficient government. And these elected officials should be next to their staff. They should have efficient offices. And, you know, and that's true for us, too. Our office, our staff should not be in other parts of a building somewhere else on the campus. You know how much time you have between meetings to get the work done. You know how much it's being used outside here. And when we reorganize this legislative body must be more efficient. Our staff needs to be with us where we can use them so we can deliver a high-quality service to our constituents. And you can't do that if you start breaking up your staff, send some into one building, some to another building. So efficiency is part of the driving force in trying to deliver good government. I'd urge you vote no on the concurrence.
The motion is that the Senate concur on Senate File 103. You've been asked to vote no. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis? Hastert,
no.
Hicks,
no.
Hines, Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
yeah.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Slatern,
no.
President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 no's.
I hear vote. You have failed to concur.
Mr. President, I would just point out that that was a heck no.
You have failed to concur with message number 184 in reference to Senate File 103. Joint Conference Committee appointees are Ross, Chairman, Nicholas, and Rothfuss.
Be the ball.
Members of the Senate, today we are very privileged to be joined by the Director General and the Deputy Director General of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Seattle. Director Andy Chin and Deputy Director Richard Lin have traveled here today to promote and strengthen the economic and cultural and educational ties between the United States and Taiwan. Please help me in welcoming Director Chin and Deputy Director Lin to the floor. Director Chin, if you'd like to come to the podium and say a few words, we'd be happy to hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is my sixth visit to Wyoming State, during my just a little bit more than 2 years tenure here. And today, I have a great honor and privilege and a big pleasure to be here, standing in front of you, to extend to you our Taiwanese people's deepest heartfelt appreciation for your support for Taiwan, for its democracy, for its development, and for its business relations with the United States. When I came into this Capitol Hill this morning, I was amazed by this beautiful military sound, this music, which reminded me, and some people told me that this is a celebration of the veteran servicemen here. This reminded me of our traditional bonds between the United States and the Republic of China. Long time ago, in the Second World War, even after, in the Korean War, in the Vietnamese War, and here now, in defending democracy, freedom, and human rights. This year is the 77th anniversary of the Republic of China's victory over Japanese invasion in the 1940s. And this reminded us, all of us, about how bravely for those servicemen from the United States fought together with the government, with the soldiers, and the people of the Republic of China to defend their hometown, to defend the values we commonly shared. And this is the foundation, this is the solid basis of our friendship. People say that in this world, business means everything. But I don't agree about that. Our business, Taiwan became United States' number 12 largest trading partner in the world last year. And this means that even this tiny island of Taiwan, only 14,000 square miles, and with 23 million people over there, we are ahead of the other 180 countries in the world to be the partner, the trading partner of the United States. I will say this is not only because of a business, merely business relationship. This is based on, it builds on our long traditional friendship and this kind of ally spirit that make us the eternal permanent ally, permanent friends. And this is also why Wyoming State for Taiwanese people is important. And when last year the governor met, he visited Taiwan, he led a delegation to Taiwan. He further broadened and further enhanced such kind of a relationship. Now, I will say more and more Taiwanese people know not only Yellowstone, they know also, they know as well, that Yellowstone is right perfectly situated in the great state of Wyoming. And this afternoon and tomorrow, I'm going to visit all different agencies here in the state government, and tomorrow I'm going to meet with Governor Mead. I'm going to report to him, and I'm going to say that following his visit, we are going to have a comprehensive program, a plan for our bilateral trade. Not only trade, also include education, include cultural exchanges, and also include tourism. So we have many things to do, and I solicit your further support for such kind of a meaningful exchanges and relationship. Today, I take this opportunity to thank you all for this kind of relationship. And also, I wish you all good health and prosperity and happiness in this Lunar New Year of the Horse. In Chinese culture, horse means galloping toward success. So this is a good symbol. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you both for joining us in the Senate today. Okay, we have Senator Esquivel.
Move to the floor.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Fellow senators, today we're honored to also have with us some representatives from the Susan G. Komen Foundation. It's the affiliate for Wyoming. And the president is my sister-in-law, Susie Meisner. And she's got some of her board members up there with her. Would you join me in welcoming Susie? And also, I've got some registration forms for the Race for the Cure. They're on your desk. So if you would look at those. And Senator Burns has already stepped forward. So anyway, but if you would join me in welcoming Susie.
Welcome, former Senator Mockler. Senator Landon.
Mr. President, may I have a quick pleasure of the floor, please?
Hey.
Privilege of the floor?
Pleasure of the floor?
Either one. It is a pleasure. Mr. President, I wanted to tag on to what the good senator just said about this being Cancer Awareness Day here at the Capitol. It snuck up on some of us. Otherwise, we'd be adorned in pink. I would have worn my pink skirt, but I wanted to point out that you've received a very nice lapel pin from the Comprehensive Cancer Control Consortium, part of the Wyoming Department of Health. I want to recognize their efforts to increase the awareness and to fight deadly disease. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Reports from Standing Committee?
February the 27th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 14, Business Entities Revisions, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 27th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 13, UCC Liens Electronic Filing, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 27th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 18, Coroner Standard Enforcement, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 27, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 15, Business Entities Enforcement and Penalties, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 27th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 19, Engrossed, Notary Fees, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 28th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation Highway Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 88, Engrossed, Post-Dated Checks, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Esquivel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. February the 26th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 5, Moose Wilson Roadway, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. February the 26th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 12, 80 miles per hour speed limit, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Landon, Von Fladern. No, Senators Escobel and Schiffer. Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. February the 26th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 173, engrossed, Schools Administration of Epirin.
Epinephrine.
Very good. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Mr. President, up in the West Balcony, we have some special guests with us today, some future legislators coming down here just to get an idea of how this all works, and some very good friends of the Casper senators are here from Fort Casper Academy. Would you please help me make them feel welcome to the Senate?
Welcome. Welcome to the Senate. Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
May.
Just for informational purposes for the Senate, your Conference Committee on Appropriations had an interesting day yesterday, and I'll leave it at that. We've resolved most of the issues. There is one or two outstanding ones, that being Medicaid and just the budget balancer that we'll be discussing today at 1 o'clock in room 204 to try to wrap this thing up. Just want to give everybody a heads up, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Bill's on second reading. House Bill 11, second reading of the House Bill.
Controlled Substances.
House Bill 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 20, second reading of the House Bill.
Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety Fees.
House Bill 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 22, second reading of the House Bill.
Mineral Tax Audit Interest Rate.
House Bill 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 24, second reading of the House Bill.
Registration Fees, House Trailers.
House Bill 24, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 25, second reading of the House Bill.
Funeral Service Practitioners Act.
House Bill 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 32, second reading of the House Bill.
Snowmobile Permit and Registration Fees.
House Bill 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 33, second reading of the House Bill.
Jury Pool Selection Archaic Language.
House Bill 33, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 34, second reading of the House Bill.
Solid waste cease and transfer eligibility.
House Bill 34 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so. Excuse me, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I asked that this be laid back previously for today to work on some better language. I was assured by my brethren in the House, as well as LSO staff, that any failures on the part of the language are actually on the part of the reader. And so I won't bring any language forward. It'll have to do.
All right. Senate File 34, then, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 43, second reading of the House Bill, or House Bill 43.
Children in Need of Supervision Age.
House Bill 43, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. It is so ordered. House Bill 71, second reading of the House Bill.
Leasing of Equipment.
House Bill 71, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 91, second reading of the House Bill.
Real Estate Loans Limitations.
House Bill 91, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 96, second reading of the House Bill.
Professional Assistant Programs.
House Bill 96, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 147, second reading of the House Bill.
Infrastructure Authority Energy Transmission.
House Bill 147, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Joint Resolution 1, second reading of the House Joint Resolution.
Support of Taiwan.
House Joint Resolution 1, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business. Consideration of bills on third reading and final passage. Do you have a consent list?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the following third reading consent list. House Bill 3, Alternative Schools. House Bill 7, Unlawful Entry into Occupied Structure. House Bill 8, Court Reporter Fee Elimination. And House Bill 9, Bodily Injury and Serious Bodily Injury.
Would any member of the Senate like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Hearing none. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 3, House Bill 7, House Bill 8, and House Bill 9. Chief Clerk will call the roll, or Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatren,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill number 3, are there any changes? Case, Idano. Closing vote. Closing, vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill number 7, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Hicks aye to no. Perkins aye to no. Bebout aye to no. Dockstetter aye to no. Driscoll aye to no. Anderson 02 aye to no. Coe aye to no. Cooper aye to no.
Meyer aye to no.
Meyer aye to no. Emmerich aye to no.
Ross aye to no.
Ross aye to no.
Nicholas aye to no.
Nicholas aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 17 aye, 13 no. House Bill number 8, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 aye. House Bill number 9, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill number 9, 30 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 3, Alternative Schools, House Bill 7, Unlawful Entry into Occupied Structure, House Bill 8, Court Reporter Fee Elimination, and House Bill 9, Bodily Injury and Serious Bodily Injury, have passed the Senate. House Bill 6, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 6, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, domestic assault and battery, and act relating to crimes and offenses, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk will read in third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 6.
House Bill 6, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 11, line 12.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 6. Mr. President, what this does, we've got it's a fairly technical correction that the attorneys picked up. It goes in on page 11, line 12. And this is the portion that deals with expungement. The way our statutes are now and what we want to keep in our statutes is that after you've had a second offense for assault in a family, you cannot get that expunged from your record. And in order to accomplish that, we have to reinsert on line 12 of page 11 the reference to Wyoming Statute 62501F, and then we add in the language, has in effect prior to July 1st, 2014, and any offense punishable under the Wyoming Statute 62511B3. And what that does, it means you cannot get an expungement for the second offense on assault within a family. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 6 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Is there any discussion on the bill? Hearing none. The question is, shall House Bill 6 pass the Senate? The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard? Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel? Geis. Hastert. Hicks. Hines. Johnson. Landon. Meyer. Nicholas. Nutting. Perkins. Peterson. Rothfuss. Schiffer. Scott. Von Flatern? President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 6, 27 aye, 3 no.
He's never gotten over it.
House Bill 6, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 6 has passed the Senate. House Bill 46, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 46, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Public Employee Pension Plan Contributions, an act relating to public employees, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
The discussion? Hearing none. Question is, House Bill 46, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen? Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Ross,
aye.
Closing vote, closing, vote closed. House Bill 46, 29 aye, 1 no.
House Bill 46, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 46 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion's carried. Senator Perkins.
Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 38. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill number 38, sponsored by Representative Barlow, Taxidermy Licenses, and Act Relating to Taxidermists. It was referred to Committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll. No, Senator Burns. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill? Senator Burns, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 38. There is a standing committee amendment, and I would ask that that be read in now.
Please read in the amendment.
House Bill 38, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 9.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment, and for further explanation of both the bill and the amendment, I would ask that you call on the senator from Devil's Tower.
Great. Thanks, Senator Burns. Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 38 is a bill that was developed in conjunction with the Taxidermist Association, which is virtually all the taxidermists in Wyoming, and the Game and Fish. Probably didn't know it, but the taxidermy in Wyoming is the most regulated taxidermist in the United States, and this bill was an attempt to bring our taxidermy business a little more in line so they can do some business across state lines. It has to do with game tags and some of the way they run their business. I will kind of walk you through the bill on it and go through that end of it. Starting on page one, they struck out a little bit of language and redefined a little bit of what a taxidermist is. It was a little nonspecific as to what they do. Working on down on starting on line five on page two, talks about licensed taxidermists and shipping to or receiving wildlife. And this has to do back across state lines, being able to get specimens back and forth. Line 10 talks about how they maintain their records. They had redundancy in their records before. They had to use a game tag and a deal and also sign an affidavit that was fairly onerous. And this cleans that up, makes it pretty clean on the way it works. Dropping down to line 19 on page 2, it provides an exception on the game tag so that they don't have to have them on all of it. In short, that's the whole bill. Going back to the amendment, this amendment was one that actually was kind of caught by the Game and Fish, and it just mirrors the, we did a part A and this part B got dropped off and adds back on to finish it where they can actually ship out of state. The first part made it where they could ship it, work in state. This does out of state. This bill's one that's pretty apple pie. It's everybody's in favor of it all the way around. We had very little. There was one taxidermist that had a comment on it that I know of. Other than that, went on through. With that, I would stand for questions and ask for your approval.
Discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, are we ready for the question? All those in favor? All those in favor of C? Where are we? All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 2, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment is passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Driscoll?
Question.
Discussion on the bill? Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the committee holds rise and report, there's a favorable recommendation on House Bill 38, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 38 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 53. Will the reading clerk please read the bill? Oops.
Yep. House Bill 53, sponsored by Representatives Dave Zwanitzer, Wyoming Lottery Definition, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery Corporation. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of... No, I don't have to say that. I got to read this. I got to read this. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want the lottery to go. It was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28. Senators Case, Emmerich, Peterson, Von Flader, and Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill, Senator Case. What is your pleasure?
I guess it's over there.
Oh, excuse me, Senator Peterson. Senator Case tricked me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 53. And for further explanation of this good bill, I would refer to Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We passed a lottery bill last year, and in the formation of the corporations and the board and things, there were a few things that the board had a question about, and that is the disposition of the funds. As you see on page 2, the first $6 million will be distributed to cities, counties, and towns, and any money thereafter will go to the Common School Fund. Well, the first $6 million is to be distributed as sales tax. And to do that, the board asked that we have a definition placed on line 13 and lines 15 and 16 of this bill. And it defines a vendor, which means any person engaged in the business of selling at retail or wholesale tangible personal property, admissions, or services which are subject to taxation under the article. This will clarify the definition of the vendor for the purposes of distributing the lottery net proceeds to local government. This bill clarifies the net lottery proceeds are to be distributed under the same method that is used to distribute sales and use taxes to local governments. I ask for your support.
Discussion on the bill? Senator Bebout.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question, not so much about the bill, but it deals with the money and how it's transferred. Could someone give us an update of where we really are with this whole entire lottery? I know we've got the board up and running. We've hired a CEO. What's the status of that? What can we expect? Is there, especially when we start looking at the money that might be coming in, do we have any ideas on when things might happen?
Senator Van Plater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, they are planning on they've given as far as a June and October to actually get started. The letters are out, request for proposal by the vendors that are going to actually set the system up. They are working their way through those proposals. They hope to have somebody picked early in the next, May-ish. And once that person is picked, then they'll start the public meetings, get it out through the website, get it out through your local newspapers to all the vendors that this bill covers, and that there's open season, as you would have on a pipeline. And who wants to apply? Then the matrix will kick in, where they'll go by foot traffic, total receipts of the business, et cetera. Put that group in there. If they do want to sell the tickets, then they'll do the background checks, which may remove a few people that have applied. So everything ready. Sometime between June and October, they'll actually start selling, and it'll probably be late summer. And then the funds will flow as per the bill and the cities and towns money. What we had a problem with was identifying. We didn't know that through this machinery that they have today, they can identify exactly which vendor, which makes sense because the vendor gets a percentage of winnings if somebody hits a big ticket. So they can identify, and that's one question we have with Department of Revenue. Could they identify exactly how much money went to each county based on their sales? And we found out in the meeting, yes, they can, because they'll know exactly where that ticket was sold, how many tickets that outfit sold, what percentage was the profits that go back to be redistributed. So, yes, they can do it. And so this bill just clarifies the vendors and how they'll distribute.
Thank you, Reverend Plater. And Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, a general question along the same lines. As I understood the previous answer, it related to who was going to sell the tickets in the state. Am I right in thinking we are developing alliances with some of the other multi-state lotteries and going to participate in them, and where does that stand?
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Ron Plater.
Exactly. You, part of the request for proposal is who do you now align yourself with, and what can you offer us, what games? Because we have none of these scratch tickets, pull tabs. We just are playing a straight lottery. And so it'll be a multi-state lottery, not to give out the particular names, but we all know what they are. So it'll be, we are joining a multi-state. Now, all the vendor proposals have multi-state in them. None of them will suggest a single state of Wyoming lottery, which your big winnings will be, you know, your $10,000 prize or something. So it'll be multi-state.
Thanks, Senator Amplater. Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the lottery bill said that we could only join one of the big multi-state lotteries and not both of them. Is that correct?
No takers? Senator Amplater.
You know, I'm standing up to say I'm really not sure on that particular issue. I think you're correct, but I'd have to really reread the bill.
Senator Amplater, we'd like to phone a friend. Is there any further discussion? Further discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion, when the committee of the whole rise and report, that do so with favorable recommendation on House Bill 53, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Then House Bill 53 is passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 54. The reading clerk, please read the amendment.
House Bill number 54, sponsored by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Lottery Board, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery Corporation. It was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28. Emmerich, Peterson, Von Fladeren, no. Senator Case, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. Senator Peterson, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises report, that it do so with favorable recommendation on House Bill 54. And for further explanation of this good bill, we would turn to Senator Von Fladeren.
Thank you, Senator Von Fladeren. A busy morning.
Good morning. Yes, it is going to be busier and another one yet to go. All this bill does, once again, we wrote that omnibus, stole that idea from the senator from Moreland, lottery bill, which encompassed a lot. Well, we made some mistakes. One of the mistakes we're trying to clear up here was in the original bill it says the employees and their immediate relatives could not play lottery. It was just kind of a blanket coverage statement, not play the lottery. Well, in all other states, their rules are similar, but they say they can not play a lottery that they govern, that they have anything to do with. So basically, a Wyoming lottery employee and its immediate relatives cannot buy their ticket in Wyoming. They can buy their ticket in any other state or overseas or wherever they want to play some other lottery, but they cannot. So they cannot buy a Wyoming lottery. So all this does is on page 1, line 15, no ticket or share for a lottery run by the board shall be purchased by, and no prize from a lottery run by the board on page 2. Shall be paid. It repeats that language, line 6 and through 8 on the rest of page 2. And that's all this does is just restrict them from buying a Wyoming-run lottery ticket, although they can buy lottery tickets in other states. Ask for the question.
Thank you. Further discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion with the committee whole rise to report the do so a favorable recommendation on House Bill 54, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 54 is passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 69. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 69, Fuel Tax Natural Gas, sponsored by Representative Larson, an act relating to fuel tax. It was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, 28. Case, Emmerich, Peterson, Von Fladeren, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Thank you. For the reading of the bill, Senator Peterson, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable consideration on House Bill 69. And for further explanation of this bill, once again, Mr. Chairman, I return to Senator Von Fladeren.
Thank you. Senator Von Fladeren, for your repeat appearance. Again.
Yes, and we've been doing well, and as somebody else from the East, the good senator, said, I hope I'm riding the wave again. So, on House Bill 69, natural gas fuel tax, What this attempts to do is put in place a way to tax natural liquefied and compressed natural gas for road use. This is not off-road use. We're not talking about filling up or running your house heater off of propane or something. This is just for the stuff for what is used on the roads. Last year, House Bill 171 deleted a sentence in the definition of gasoline that said gasoline does not mean methane, ethane, butane, or liquefied gas. As it now reads, our definition for gasoline states that gasoline means the volatile substance produced from petroleum, natural gas, oil, shale, or coal, sold under the name of gasoline. With that loose definition, YDOT's left to determine that all natural gas, whether compressed or liquid, is taxed under the gasoline statutes. Natural gas is not referred to in the diesel fuel statutes or the alternative fuel definition. So with this understanding, the gasoline statutes require that the fuel tax for all gasoline be collected at the rack. If you remember our discussion last year, the rack was the point at which you load the freighters, the over-the-road semis. They deliver to the individual gas stations. In prior years, so that was easy enough to say, pay the tax at that point. Well, liquefied and compressed come in pipelines generally or delivered by large semis that do not fill up at a rack, so we're missing that point of taxation. So what this bill does is say you'll tax it at the point of dispensing into the vehicle. So that's part of the bill, making the dispenser the point of taxation for both of them. Using LNG, liquefied natural gas, as an example in place of diesel fuel. The other part of this bill is that it says, okay, the gasoline per gas gallon equivalent of diesel, gas gallon equivalent of liquefied natural gas, excuse me, gas gallon equivalent of liquefied or compressed natural gas is as follows. English is a tough language this morning, Mr. Chairman. So as I go into the bill, I'll tell you Section 1, the statutes that are referenced there, 3917-104 is gasoline, 3917-204 is the diesel statutes. We had to put it in both. That's why you have two sections to this bill. It goes on further to say that non-liquefied compressed natural gas, basically compressed natural gas, CNG, is 5 66 hundredths pound per gas gallon equivalent, and 126 67 hundredths is the standard cubic feet equivalent of gasoline. These are also accepted accepted by the National Council of Weights and Measures and also the Department of Energy. So these are accepted national standards for the cubic feet and for the weight of compressed natural gas. Boy, I'm having troubles this morning. And then we do the same thing for diesel, that the diesel gallon equivalent of liquefied natural gas is 6 6/100ths of a pound, and the point of taxation shall be at the dispenser. And that's all this bill does. It gets a gallon equivalent for liquefied and compressed, and it puts it in the diesel statutes, it puts it in the gasoline statutes, and it points to the point of taxation. What this bill does not do is address heating your houses. There shouldn't be a road tax on that. It does not add that to that. There's about three or four items I'm hoping the interim committee will take up, which would also include electric cars as far as the road tax goes that way, natural gas for home fueling stations. What if you fill your own? There is one outfit that's using some trash, actual garbage waste disposal company that's using its own trash to produce gas that's running its own vehicles. Do we tax them? I mean, they're not taxed presently, but their trucks are certainly using our roads. So those are the issues I'm hoping the Interim Revenue Committee will take up so we can define it for everybody. There is presently two LNG filling stations on I-80 that are being proposed, but they want to know whether or not or how they will be taxed, where they're supposed to pay the tax. And we've said it's at the dispenser, and the following is how you will tax it. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will stand for questions.
Thank you for that premium explanation, Senator Van Flatiron. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of questions, and maybe I missed it. Are they currently being taxed now, and is that tax being based on the gallon rate instead of... That's the two questions.
Thanks, Senator Hicks. Senator Von Plater. Oh, excuse me. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a quick question about the thought behind having compressed natural gas on the standard with gasoline and liquefied natural gas on the standard equivalent with diesel, and what the discussion was there on why you lined it up that way.
Thanks, Senator Rothfuss. Other questions? Other questions? Senator Von Plater.
I can definitely get the first couple questions over here to the good senator from Bags. They are presently being taxed, but it's a mishmash of are they reporting correctly. Everything is taxed at a gasoline rate because we didn't have it in diesel statutes. And since they aren't at Iraq, we really can't know that they're being taxed. They are self-reporting on this. The other thing is that they are being overtaxed, actually, because it takes that extra 7/10 or 7/100 or whatever that division is. So they're being taxed for a gallon of LNG, but it's not giving them the same energy as if they had a gallon of gasoline. So that's the answer. And the question about why liquefied, I think it is, was taken into the diesels and not the gasoline. The assumption there, and I think it's in one of my notes, and I'll find you a better answer, but the assumption there is that liquefied is almost always used in place of... I have exactly this question. And the answer is that you can use compressed and liquefied in a diesel engine, and you cannot use liquefied in a manufactured, as of today, engine. If I have my two... And I wrote that answer down somewhere because somebody brought that point up. So that is why one was chosen over the other, is that there isn't a factory engine for the other.
Ah, Senator Rothfuss, follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, one additional follow-up, which is in the compressed natural gas phrasing, you have equivalents in terms of standard cubic feet and BTU. In the diesel / liquefied natural gas, you only have it in terms of mass. Was there a reason for not having the other two equivalencies, or which would provide for kind of a general analog to the previous phrasing?
Other questions? Any other questions? Okay, Senator Von Plater, you're on.
You know, Mr. Chairman, I gave the good senator from the Ivory Towers like a molecular diagram, and I thought that would satisfy him, but apparently it didn't.
So it's not in color, Senator Von Plater, and it just doesn't work.
I know. It wasn't animated enough for him. I will tell you that current LNG dispensers measure in pounds. Yes, that's why it was chosen to be pounds versus liquid quantity.
Okay. Other questions? You ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the committee hold rise report that to do so favorable recommendation on House Bill 69, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 69 has passed committee of the whole. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I wanted to give the Senate an opportunity to welcome some more of our best and brightest from my neighborhood.
I take it you're requesting privilege of the floor.
I do need privilege of the floor, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like you to recognize and welcome to the Senate the fifth grade class of Fort Casper Academy, the second group of them. If they'd stand up, please help me welcome them to the Senate today.
Welcome to our friends from Fort Casper Academy. That's my neck of the woods, and we're glad to have you in the Senate today. Are you going to pile on, Senator Christensen? Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
Members of the Senate, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce Haley Morton, one of our town council people from Jackson, and the real power in town, Roxanne. She helps keep the books running, make sure everybody gets paid and it all flows. And Haley's doing a great job as a new councilwoman.
Thank you.
Please welcome.
Welcome to the Senate. We hope you enjoy your day, and we're glad to know who the power behind the throne is in Jackson. Other privileges of the floor? All right, next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86. Will the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill number 86, sponsored by Representative Summers, Rural Health Care Districts Authority, an act relating to special rural health care districts, was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the House bill. Senator Scott, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 86 do pass, no standing committee amendments, and for an explanation of this good little House bill, I yield to Senator Cooper.
Thank you. Senator Cooper.
Good day. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow Senators, this House Bill 86 is kind of one of those bills that we come upon from time to time to take care of a little quirk in the law that's came up over the years. And what it has to do with is I have a rural health district in my county that operates two clinics, hires multiple doctors, has nurses and other staff there, and they provide the health care for the entire district. This county, by the way, has no hospital. It's the only county, it's Sublette County, by the way, that has no hospital. It's the only one that has no hospital in the state that I'm aware of. Without these clinics, though, there'd actually be virtually no health care in that county. A while back, the county, or the district, I should say, contacted the Attorney General's office to get an opinion on a personnel matter. And lo and behold, when the opinion came back from the AG's office, it had a little footnote at the bottom and said, by the way, do you know that you really do not have clear statutory authority to hire people for your clinics, including doctors, nurses, or janitors, or anybody? And they said, oh, well. And they, sure enough, looked at the statutes, and the statutes did not include that authority in them. So what this bill does is it straightens out that situation so that they now can have the authority to hire people. And like I said, and I think there's only about maybe four of these districts, rural health districts in the state, as I recall. So going to the bill, if you look at the bill, on page two of the bill is the meat of the bill on lines 7 through 14. And you'll see there that we've added a subsection, Romanette 10, which describes now that they are able to employ or otherwise contract with physicians and other health care providers to provide health care services and so on and so forth. So this now will give them the authority that they need to hire people. And originally, I think the statutes were written primarily for owning property, having elections, and so forth and so on, equipment. And so this has been added in, so we just need this in order for our little hospital, or health district, rural health district, to continue to operate in Sublette County. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator. Thank you, Senator Cooper. Senator Bebout.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This really doesn't affect the districts that are already in place in that mill levy, so this is just clarifying who they can hire. My question is, are these rural health districts, is that mills that they generate, is that within the 12 county mills? Some counties do it that way, some do it other way. Is this outside the 12 mills?
Just a minute.
Senator's question.
There you go.
Cooper? They actually operate on a mill levy that's authorized by the county commissioners. It's a separate mill levy beyond the 12 mills.
Okay. Other questions? Are you ready for the question? I was in favor of Senator Scott's motion. Will the committee hold rise report that it is so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 86? Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 86 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 95. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill number 95, sponsored by Representative Harvey, Diabetes Care Planning, and Act Relating to Public Health. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill. Senator Scott, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 95 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Please
House Bill 95, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 2, line 5.
Thank you. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, to explain the Standing Committee Amendment, what the bill relates to is having the Health Department do a plan for their activities dealing with diabetes. The feeling was in committee that we would get a better product and the health department would take the planning more seriously if somebody looked at the plan. So the standing committee amendment provides they'll submit it to the Joint Labor Committee by October 1st, 2014. I'd be happy to answer any questions on the standing committee amendment. Otherwise, I'd urge its adoption.
We're on the amendment. Questions on the amendment. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 95, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion is passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this bill relates to diabetes and the efforts that our health department makes to get it controlled and treated. And diabetes, Mr. Chairman, is becoming a major health problem in these United States and here in the state of Wyoming. The incidence is growing alarmingly. There's two kinds of it. You have the type 1 diabetes, which used to be called juvenile diabetes, that is a autoimmune disease, has a fair genetic component to it, and can really be a problem. I can remember, Mr. Chairman, my dad saying when he was in practice that one of the most difficult patients to treat was a teenager with type 1 diabetes because they simply can't do a lot of the standard things that teenagers do in terms of what they eat. And requires more discipline than perhaps many teenagers have. Difficult disease. Type 2 prevalence that's increasing. The type 2 prevalence is increasing alarmingly. Some of it relates to the epidemic of obesity in this country, but clearly there are factors well beyond that. And we don't fully understand what they all are. And it is, I will tell you from personal experience, Mr. Chairman, having the disease, that it is somewhat unpredictable. If you don't take care of it, it will get you in problems. If you do take care of it, mostly it's a nuisance, awful nuisance. But you can still get in considerable trouble. And it is expensive. The figures that we had in committee, which I didn't think to bring down here, are it's one of the more expensive diseases that you can get. It can get you fairly rapidly, Mr. Chairman, into the 5% of the population that's 50% of the health care costs. So it's important to get it taken care of. And again, if you don't take care of it, you can have some terrible complications. I can remember the former senator here that when I first came in the legislature, he just left the Senate, went all the way blind because of diabetes, and that's one of the things that can happen. I can tell you across the state that many of my fellow diabetics do not get the care that is recommended by the standard guidelines, which are quite good in this. So there are some tremendous needs. The health department has made some efforts over the years, but this is seeking to get them to do more. The testimony in committee was there's some new federal grant money that's available that we'll get a share of that they can use for this sort of thing. So this planning bill is timely at this time, Mr. Chairman. And it's what it is, though. It's a planning bill trying to get the health department to do a better job on this particular function as the importance of the disease is increasing. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions on the bill.
Thanks, Senator Scott. Questions on the bill? Further discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion in the House when the committee will rise to report, they do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 95. Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 95 has passed committee the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104.
House Bill number 104, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Education, Release of Student Information, and Act Relating to Student Information. It was referred to Committee number 4, Education, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, O2, Barnard, Cole, Landon. No, Senator Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman.
Further reading of the bill? Senator Cole, what's your pleasure?
Chairman, moving to the Committee of the Whole Rise and Report, do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 104 and defer to the tall, good-looking senator from Natrona County, Senator Landon.
Okay. Thanks for that instruction. We wouldn't have guessed.
Mr. Chairman,
Landon.
That's some of the nicest things anybody's ever said about me.
Don't let it go
really
to your head.
Appreciate the good senator from Cody. First of all, Mr. Chairman, let me point out that I released some information that you'll find in your baskets related to House Bill 104 and inadvertently placed SF 104 at the top of that sheet. I think that particular number has been retired in the Senate anyway. We don't use 104 anymore over here. This is a House Bill 104, so if you'd please cross that out and put HB 104, I'd appreciate that. Mr. Chairman, this is a bill about the consent to release information to our Cowboy Challenge Academy folks. And to back you up a little bit and help you remember a little bit about the Cowboy Challenge Academy, wasn't that long ago that we sent a bill through the Senate to allow for four different start dates at the Cowboy Challenge? And since that time, we've tripled the number of cadets that we are sending over there to our Guernsey operation. The reason for this bill is that part of the challenge you run into with difficult populations, I run into it with my day job, as a matter of fact, with an outstanding staff up there in our part of the world, we still have difficulty with some of our families and being able to reach those students who might benefit from the Cowboy Challenge Academy experience. And so what this does is make an attempt to try to find a way to reach out and contact these families and these individuals who might benefit over there. This has actually been tried in a couple of states, so we're not the first up in this attempt. Montana and Alaska have both done this, and they've increased their enrollments because of it. They estimate 20% to 30%. I might point out that a little bit more about that Cowboy Challenge Academy. I'm not going to read that sheet that I referred to. There's a lot of good information on there. I would commend that to you, but I would say that we have about a 75% graduation rate over there. I think most of us would agree that they're doing an outstanding job, and that's why I was interested in this bill. Anything we can do to avail more of our troubled youth out there to this Cowboy Challenge experience, I think, is good. Mr. Chairman, I'll go to the bill now. House Bill 104, the meat of the bill is on pages 2 and 3. And you'll see that the language, please utilize your green sheet because the other side did tighten up this information a little bit. But on line 8, we add the language that any student information obtained in accordance with 214102C or 214106B by the National Guard Youth Challenge Program shall be utilized for the sole purpose of recruitment for the National Guard Youth Challenge Program. I take you over onto page 3, and this is how we spell out what we're asking our school districts to do. The written consent to withdraw shall include a separate provision authorizing the release of the student's identity and address to the Wyoming National Guard Youth Challenge Program, as established in 19-9-701, for the sole purpose of recruitment into the Wyoming National Guard Youth Challenge Program. Mr. Chairman, over on page 4, we spell out some more specifics that we're asking of our school districts, and I won't read those to you. You can read those, but that's the gist of the bill, Mr. Chairman. We are affording an opportunity for our Cowboy Challenge folks to be able to reach out there and at least get the information to some of our troubled youth across the state. With that information, we hope that that many will avail themselves to what we think is a terrific opportunity. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Landon. Is there discussion on the bill? Questions? Thank you, Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I support the Youth Challenge Program. I think it's very good. Was there any discussion about who else can get on this list? In other words, can Aunt Griselda's School for Wayward Boys, if they come and get a statutory change, are they going to go on this list? And you name all the other private institutions across the state, this is the gold mine of information. But understand, you're releasing individual information, even though the student may say it's okay, for these people to go out and recruit them. I want to know where the line is. Do you say Aunt Griselda can't do it, but the Youth Challenge can? Was there any discussion who's going to meet this criteria in the future? Because once you open this door, you cannot close it, and you probably have to treat all comers equally. That's a federally funded program.
Thanks, Senator Schiffer. Other questions? Senator Landon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the good, to my good friend from KC, no, we did not have a conversation, but I appreciate, the points that you bring up, because, yes, this does open a different door. It does require school districts out there to carefully provide that information with a consent form. I might add that the Cowboy Challenge Academy, being an academic experience, and being a federally run program, or at least receiving federal funds, that FERPA laws are very much in effect. And as near as I've been able to find out, FERPA laws are in existence in perpetuity. So these records will be treated as though the Cowboy Challenge were a different school district. And school districts do share information back and forth. And, of course, that information, some of information, including this information, is shared with our Department of Education. So I think the senator from KC brings up a very good point and a good caution, and that is that once we do this with school districts, there's probably a good chance that somebody else will bring another issue to us sometime in the future, some organization out there that caters to troubled youth. But I guess we can cross that bridge when we get there. This bill is specific to school districts. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Landon. For the questions, for the discussion. Are you ready for the question?
Thank you.
All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion when the committee hold their eyes to report that it is with favorable recommendation on House Bill 104, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 104 is passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 175. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill number 175, sponsored by Representative Brown, transfer on death deed and act relating to non-testamentary transfer of death of real property. Was referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Further reading of the bill, Senator Schiffer, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with a favorable recommendation for House Bill 175, transfer on death deed, and to carry this fine bill, I yield to the majority floor leader.
Thank you. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the file before you, education, or it is the date on death deed. Folks, we passed this bill some time ago, or last year, that provides the opportunity to record a deed that becomes effective on your death. And it's a pretty effective tool for estate planning folks, attorneys, to assist families where the only asset they have is a house. They don't want to have the expense of a trust. They would like to have that house transferred upon their death. One of the things that we tried to do in that bill, though, is protect the state of Wyoming for Medicaid, Medicare, health care liens. And the mechanism that we had set up last year provided that the attorney or whoever filed the deed would provide an affidavit that all liens have been paid. That's been creating some administrative problems. So what this bill does is it alters that to say that you provide an affidavit, but that has to have an accompanying certificate of clearance that's issued by the Department of Health that says any Medicaid, Medicare liens have been paid. So what we've done is tried to make the system more easily executable for the clerks and for title examiners so they can see, okay, those liens did get paid, and therefore, and as that's the date upon which the transfer becomes effective, I'd urge your support.
Thanks, Senator Nicholas. Questions? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion with the committee whole rise to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 175, say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 175 is passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 178. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill number 178, sponsored by Representative Nichols. Nicholas, Computer Trespass, an act relating to offenses against computer property. It was referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. Senator Schiffer, what's your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 178, Computer Trespass. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I ask that it be read in at this time.
Please read the amendment.
House Bill 178, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 4, line 2.
Thank you, Senator Schiffer.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and move the amendment at this time. And for a discussion on House Bill 178, I yield to the Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, you can see that this is the brother's bill, and we agreed to do this bill on behalf of Senator from Fremont County's constituent, and relieve him of a lot of telephone calls from one of his constituents up in Lander. And that particular constituent has been quite concerned over the years that people have been shipping viruses into his computer, and that's just wrong. But we've all experienced this, and so it's a good bill. The idea here is that to create a crime with respect to when somebody is sending a computer, a virus, to your machine, and ultimately you're required to go in and pay for the cost to either replace hardware or to have to recover your software, your programs, your information. So we created a criminal trespass that you'll see beginning on the page 1, which is the criminal trespass for that offense, which leads to a misdemeanor. And over on page 3, we create a civil trespass as well as that original claim, and you can see the elements of a civil trespass, so you can sue these folks that are sending the virus if you can find them. And that gets to the proposed change on the Standing Committee Amendment, which provides that among the damages that you're entitled to recover are the cost to find these culprits if you can find them and get a judgment. And perhaps there are folks up in Fremont County that are aged about, you know, in their late 80s that will go out and find these people. And it's pretty good for all of us if they can find them. But it provides a remedy for these folks or anybody that does want to go and pursue them. So I would call, if there are no questions, I'd call for a question on the first Standing Committee Amendment.
On the Standing Committee Amendment, is there further discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion that Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to this bill pass the Committee of the Whole, say aye.
Aye.
Suppose no. The motion is passed. We're back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's an explanation of the bill. It simply creates a remedy for folks that if you can figure out and you have the resources to find out who sent the virus, to not only charge them with crimes as well as a civil penalty. We are trying to work out the details of when this should rise to the felony level. We have our law clerk working on it, and if we come up with that language, we'll submit it on second reading.
Thank you, Senator Nicholas. Questions? All right, let's go. We'll go to Senator Case first, then over to Senator Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just point out that this is kind of the first time that I've noticed that this particular constituent is on the same page with the good senator from Albany County.
It's been a strange session, Senator Case. Thanks for that observation, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, question. Much of this crime is actually in interstate commerce. What are the federal laws in this area, and how does this relate to the federal laws and the federal penalties?
Thank you. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Technical difficulties. Please stand by. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious about a situation where, you know, Jimmy's a 19-year-old college student. He writes a virus, gives it to his friend, but he unfortunately wrote a pretty good virus, and that virus ends up on 10,000 machines and does some small amount of damage, erasing some bitmap or something on all 10,000 machines. Under this proposed statutory change, did Jimmy just commit 10,000 misdemeanors subject to several million dollars in potential penalties, or would we be just looking at that first event? Could the sponsor explain a little bit on how that would work in terms of kind of some real-world applications of these types of things that do get out of control often and oftentimes are written by folks who didn't set out to do that destruction? And the second question I would have would be a situation where the initial virus was written somewhere else, another country perhaps, and while somebody might have meant to do some small amount of damage or might have been playing a joke, once again it got out of control and did a substantial amount of additional damage. What would this proposed change in statute do under that circumstance?
Thank you. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To further question, to dovetail on the back of the minority floor leader, and that is, I'm wondering, where does this crime occur in terms of jurisdiction? Does the crime occur where it was originally the virus was developed, or does the crime occur when it is received in Wyoming, and how we get jurisdiction over somebody outside of the state of Wyoming?
Thank you, Senator Ross. Okay, Senator Anderson is going to pile on. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, this House Bill 178, forever to be known as the Brothers Bill, will it be enforced by the NSA?
Okay. Have you got that list down, Senator Nicholas?
This is enforceable by our prosecutors, not the NSA, with respect to going through the questions. The issue with respect to a single event leading to multiple computers, it's still a single event, I think, is the one crime when it's sent out. Now, one of the issues that we talked about in the committee is whether or not at some point it hits so many machines that it ought to be a felony, in the sense that if it's a whole bunch of people having minor inconvenience, then at some point it is a misdemeanor. Now, with respect to the crime, we have lots of crimes, folks, where people harm people in our state, and it's a crime here. The question is whether or not we're prepared to extradite them. For example, if your parents are elderly and they're victimized by somebody calling and stealing their money from Canada, that's a crime here because they caused the events to happen in Wyoming. Now, the issue is whether or not we're prepared to go out and extradite them to come back to Wyoming for crime, as long as it's a misdemeanor, that's unlikely that any extradition would ever take place. There are instances where the testimony was DCI thinks they could find people who do very egregious types of viruses that we ought to be looking at, finding them and then extraditing if we can for these crimes. With respect to the issue of whether the federal law covers this as well, I'm not aware of that. I do know that there are federal crimes that involve these types of events, but I think they tend to look at areas where federal information is collected or your personal information. I mean, the most recent one that we see that has generated a lot of notoriety is folks are hacking into where they're getting your credit card information, but those involve stealing property. But the same thing, it's still a trespass. In this instance, it's not a trespass to steal the data. It's a trespass intended to actually destroy your computer. With respect to the how do you enforce it, again, the county attorneys, the damage would occur here, and it wouldn't be any difference, as I explained, that somebody is from out of state or out of country is calling your parents at an elderly age trying to steal money from them, the various scams. And we certainly don't turn a blind eye and say, well, geez, you're out of state, and so it's okay. That's a crime here. And the issue is whether it deserves the resources of our law enforcement to go after it. And that's why we've created the civil remedy. So if you have folks that really are damaged and or they want to do a class action, they want to go out and they can find the culprits, there's an opportunity to do that. The issue there then is when you get into the civil area is whether or not we have the long-arm jurisdiction to sufficient contacts to go out and sue somebody from out of state who causes damages. And part of this, if you look at the language, is very carefully drawn to provide long-arm jurisdiction to folks to use our courts to get a judgment. Now, whether you can collect the judgment or not, if you identify the person, get the long-arm jurisdiction, get a judgment, certainly that's the first issue. The second issue is whether you can collect it. We do think there are instances where there ought to be felonies that would provide sufficient incentive for the, I'm not sure if incentive is the right way, but that would actually warrant local prosecutors to look at extradition, assuming they want to put DCI resources on finding these folks. But we're still working on that language and hope to bring it back to you for a second reading. If we can't come up with a good solution, I think the bill still deserves merit. Folks, as you know, we're getting to the point now where there are a lot of people that really depend on their computers, the data on their computers. Computers are now no longer something that you just go in and play video games on. And when people are trespassing on your computer with the intent to destroy it, whether it's malicious or not, there are crimes. And when we're talking about little Johnny playing with his computer and he sends or relays on viruses intended to harm, that's not acceptable anymore. It was different when we weren't so reliant. We don't have all the information. If you're running your office or your personal office at home, these are tools. And it's no different than somebody walking in and taking your tractor and putting sugar in your gas tank. It's a crime, and people need to understand that it's not acceptable to introduce viruses to cause damage to people's equipment.
Thank you. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a word for future consideration. As the majority of floor leader indicated, within the civil component of potential of a class action, we need to remember that we raise the jurisdiction level of the circuit courts up to $50,000, but they have no ability in the circuit court, nor is there a mechanism for a class action in circuit court. And when you're talking about something like this, it may never rise to the level where you can get it into district court, and we may at some time wish to consider whether or not class actions can occur in circuit court.
Thanks, Senator Ross. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, that'd be good little Johnny jokes, sorry. But no deal, so... I've got some questions on the deal. It's you got to do it intentionally, but then on page 3, lines 7 through 9, it says, after being notified by the owner or lawful possessor, remove the data, the program or other information fails to do so completely. I think this is really a dangerous one, because anybody that's got a computer sent a virus out on it, you get an email back that says, hey, you just nuked me, and you start trying to clean it up. But basically under this, the way I read it, you just gave me notification. The virus is still on my computer. And now you say I've intentionally done it because I didn't thoroughly get rid of it. So, maybe we need to find somebody that sells computers as well, because for a lot of people it may mean that you got to get rid of a computer. They're hard to get out. These bad viruses, they're terrible things. I'd like to know how you're going to handle that, because that is notification. You tell me you just sent it to me, and now I send it back to you. I'm not sure that's covered here.
Thanks, Senator Driscoll. Other discussion? Further discussion? Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion that one committee hold rise to report to do so over the favorable recommendation on House Bill 78, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 178 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 145, sponsored by Representative Madden, Streamline Sales Tax Amendments, and Act Relating to Use Tax, was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28. Emmerich, Peterson, Von Fladeren, no. Senator Case, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Thank you for the reading of the bill. Senator Peterson, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises report that it do so with favorable consideration for House Bill 145. There are no standing committee amendments, and so I'll go ahead and, Mr. Chairman, and explain this bill.
Oh, good.
We hope. This is the compact that our state belongs to. It's the streamlined sales tax that we've been involved with for more than a decade now or more. The whole purpose of this, for those that aren't aware of streamlined sales tax effort, is that basically I believe there are 20 or more states, probably more states, involved in this streamlined sales tax effort to try to get us in conforming compliance to go after sales tax nationwide as far as those businesses that are not in the state of Wyoming collecting sales tax. And to do that, you can imagine the challenge to collect that sales tax. Other states have to be on board, and so the compact was organized. And this basically, Mr. Chairman, in this language, brings us a little bit more closer to conformance with the rules that exist that makes Wyoming, that would make Wyoming conforming to that sales tax effort. On page 1, line 14, the problem that we presently have is that if a piece of equipment is purchased by a person in Wyoming, a business, and then it's serviced out of state, let's say they take that piece of equipment back over to another state to be repaired, and this problem exists right now, then the states point at each other who's to collect that tax on that repair of that equipment when the equipment's brought back into the state fixed. And both states point at each other and say it's our tax, it's your tax. And so this basically clarifies that. It's clarifying language. Page 1, line 14, making first use of taxable services or storing, using, or consuming tangible personal property or specified digital projects. And it goes throughout, adds that same language on page 2. On page 3, talking about, on page 3, the basis of tax on line 7, specified digital products sold, services to repair, alter, or improve tangible personal property sold. We're trying to address that situation that we have right now, and so this is just conforming language, getting us a step closer to keeping our sales tax laws up to date with the effort for the streamlined sales tax, the compact that we belong to in the state of Wyoming. I'd urge the body's favorable consideration to stand for questions.
Thank you. Questions? Discussion? Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 145, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 145 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
Heard the motion. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passes. Mr. President.
Do we have anything? Somewhat. Reports from standing committees.
February the 27th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 140, Complementary Hunting Licenses, Persons with Disabilities. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, and Kraft. No, Senators Christensen and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 27th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 48, Fishing with Artificial Light. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Senator Burns.
I'm sorry, was House Bill 104 engrossed read in? I'm sorry, 102?
No, not
oh,
yet.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Mr. Majority Floor, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. Wait. Oh. Announcements. Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet up on adjournment this afternoon on House Bill 72, Engrossed, Ominous Water Bill Planning.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number 9 will meet 15 minutes after adjournment this afternoon to conduct hearing on governor's appointment.
Senator Ron Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor for a moment.
You may.
In room 302 during lunch, the Veterans Commission will be presenting the Fallen Warriors display during lunch. So, and they have, I believe, some food up there for you if you'd like to go up. And just a few minutes and see what the kiosk and the information that they will present is all about. So in room 302 during lunch.
Fallen Warriors.
Fallen Warriors.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I too would encourage the Senate. Fallen Warriors are those residents of Wyoming since 2011 or how when? That have fallen fighting the war on terrorism. It's well worth seeing, and they are people that have come from our state. On another note, Mr. President, your Judiciary Committee number one will meet tomorrow morning, February 28th, to take up House Bill 76, engrossed property forfeitures and seizures, House Bill 155, engrossed electronic citation fees, House Bill 127, disclosure of juvenile probation information, and House Bill 128, juvenile courts sanctions.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number three, revenue, will meet in 30 minutes, 12:30, in room S16, to take up House Bill 135, small business investment credit number of employees, House Bill number 154, exemption for gratuities, and House Bill 21, engrossed property tax exemption charity.
Further announcements? Hearing none. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. The Senate stands in recess until 2 p.m.